Today is August 20th, 1989. My name is Tika Ward. I'm interviewing George Wethington. We are at apartment number 11 at 1330 South 6th Street. Our topic is Actors Theater of Louisville. You work at the scene shop?
No, I'm a house manager. I also do telemarketing. I'll be doing different things with theater as the season goes on.
When did you start working with actors?
Last year.
Like what month?
October, I think.
And what did you start as?
A house manager.
What is the house manager?
A house manager is basically you're in charge of the house, which is everything but the stage. So I'm like in charge of the ushers and concessions and a lot of things fall under it. You know, I start the show, I say when the show starts, I do the calls to tell people that, you know, the show starts in 15 minutes, you know, first call, second call, last call, and it varies from show to show what the particulars of my job are. Like, we'll have a show this year that'll have simultaneous translation, and so I'll be in charge of the headsets and stuff, which will only be for that show.
Tell what the name of that show is.
That's Cinzano. It's a Russian comedy, contemporary Russian comedy.
And it's being shown as part of the
Classics in Context Festival. The Moscow Art Theater is going to perform it for us coming here.
How did you get your job at Actors Theater?
My wife works there.
And what's her name?
Lynn, L-I-N.
And what does she do?
She's a director of operations.
So this means you work at the part where the Pamela Brown is, and at the Victor Jory
is my theater. I do the Victor Jory.
What was it like during the Humana Festival?
I only did a few shows. Last year I did two shows, all the shows, and then I did matinees. And the Humana Festival is no big deal except for the VIP weekend. And then you're dealing with people that are expect certain things and aren't necessarily going to happen. So, you know, there are problems, but it's, you know, I found that, you know, problems end very quickly with what I do. They don't last very long.
Are you from Louisville?
I'm from Lebanon Junction, Kentucky, which is like 35 miles south of here.
How long have you lived in Louisville?
Roughly 8 or 9 years, something like that.
Did you meet your wife here?
No, I met my wife in college at Center College. Went to Center College, and I went to school in Louisville. I went to St. X.
Even though you're from, okay, so
I
you're...
I commuted every day.
From Lebanon Junction to go to St. X?
Well, there's not a high school in Lebanon Junction. So even to have gone to the public high school, I would have had to commute to Shepherdsville every day, which is like 15 miles, half the distance, kind of.
So what days do you work at Actors?
Well, I do different things. So now I'm working in the evenings, basically. Occasionally, now that the season's beginning to start, I have to go in for meetings sometimes with different people about house managing. Then I'm working on the phones at night, telemarketing. And then when my shows start, I'll have to work, you know, every show and the Victor Jory. I will occasionally have to come in during days for stuff. And like I say, I've probably will do other jobs for the theater during the coming season.
How do you deal with Sandy Spear or with Merrily or who's your
I can deal with just about anybody. My immediate superior is James Romer.
And his title is?
Director of Budget Management, something like that. I'm not really sure. Something like that.
How do you like working in Actors Theater? What do you like about being involved with the theater?
It's basically a learning experience for me now, just to learn about theater. I'm a writer, so the theater is both for me a source of income, period, and educational. That's why I try to do as many different things as I can down there to learn as much about theater as I can.
Do you write plays or fiction?
I write fiction. I'm a I'm a also a freelance writer, occasionally take on projects that interest me or have some financial incentive. But I don't write for newspapers anymore or advertising or anything like that. The zoo thing that they're talking about,
right?
I'm the writer for that.
Right, tell about the zoo proposal or the zoo work that you all are doing.
Well, it's still up in the air. Tomorrow's the big day that we presented to the zoo, and they, I'm assuming, will fairly shortly thereafter at the time give approval of the budget. So I really, until tomorrow, I really don't feel, I'm basically looking at it like, you know, it's not for real yet, although we've all done a lot of work on it. But it's basically a kind of theatrical thing, kind of an amusement park type thing, and involves a train ride there.
It has to do with Halloween?
Right, Halloween, that's right.
Do you all do other, not, well, freelance work together?
This is the first time I've done anything with theater people, but, you know, I don't know, things might happen. I'm not adverse to the fact, I'm, I don't know how to explain the way I am. I basically do things to either, for money, or for credit, or for education. So, you know, it depends. I mean, I'm not going to just do anything. I don't want to work in, like, PR and write that kind of stuff. So, it just depends. Something like this, the zoo project, I'm comfortable with, you know. So, I'm, it's kind of fun, and it's not something that I feel like I'm compromising my goals with writing to do. That's a problem when you freelance. You develop bad habits if you just do stuff like newspaper writing and PR stuff. Your writing starts to take on that character. You can't help yourself.
As a writer then, what do you think is the importance of Actors Theatre's Humana Festival in terms of what it does for your playwrights?
Well, that's constantly changing. You know, now it's getting more geared towards established writers. And as far as I can tell, like last season, there was not a single play done for the Humana Festival that hadn't had some kind of performance before. So, now they have that one act contest or whatever, but they don't produce it, they just have a run through of professional actors reading it. So it's more than just getting your friends together to read your plays, but it's not like there's a monetary incentive or that's just, the Humana Festival for me is the most exciting part of the theater, the Actors Theater. You don't, when it's over, you're sad that it's over. The other part of the theater that's sometimes can be just as exciting are some of the apprentice projects.
The Apprentice Showcase. Is that what you were thinking of?
Well, the Apprentice Showcase has potential, you know, from one to the other certain things. And they also have the apprentices do like, well, there's one production that was like 10-minute monologues that the apprentices have to write themselves and perform, you know, each one of them. And they actually break that down into two shows because there's usually like 20 apprentices. And I'd say this past season, outside of a few Humana Festival productions, well, even including the Humana Festival production, that was one of the most satisfying things. One apprentice actress, Gretchen Klagen, did a very, I thought it was very, very good. Her monologue was like, I thought, extremely well written, and the performance was really good. I don't know, you know, what other people think, but that one performance was as good as, to me, as anything that was done. And I saw most of the productions last year. I didn't see Beehive or Christmas Carol. And there were some that I worked that I never set through, but I knew them pretty well.
Discuss seeing some of those plays.
Well,
like a synopsis of the play and what it was like. as a theater goer?
Well,
like The Tempest.
The Tempest, you know, it's, the story's well known. The Tempest, the shipwreck survivors on an island, although it was all planned by the Prospero, the wizard, and, you know, it turns out to be his... Well, The Tempest is funny because if you make a synopsis of The Tempest, it doesn't really sound like very much. But basically, I think most people at the theater were disappointed in The Tempest, and for a lot of different reasons. I myself was disappointed because I'd been looking forward to it. I'd never seen a Shakespeare production with a big budget, and it was interesting and educational for me, but I really couldn't hardly recommend it to anybody. Well, it's hard to put in the... One of Jory's things is he likes, which I'll preface this by saying that I admire it. I think it's a good way to be, is that he likes theater to be like going to a circus, or to put it in contemporary terms, like almost like a vaudeville with people, you know, acrobats on a high wire, I think is his common example, you know, pyrotechnics. It'd be a pleasurable experience. And he did that with The Tempest. That's where he came into the theater with that attitude, and it's nice to know that now, you know, 20 years later or whatever, he's still doing it. But, you know, plays are different when you can't, when working at Actors Theater, just go into a play and watch it as a patron. It's impossible. Because you know, you've gone to rehearsals, you've seen and you've heard talk about like conflicts between the director and certain actors. You may have even seen them. You with the scene shop, they had a lot of problems with The Tempest building it. You know, you just know all that stuff, and you come in and you can't. Now, I started going to the theater with my wife, and so I was just a patron at first, and I got turned off to the regular fare pretty quickly. I have very eclectic tastes in just about everything, but within all the different types of things I like, I am pretty demanding, and I'm not just satisfied with, you know, what they do. It's not challenging enough to me. And although I like what Jory's attitude about making it a spectacle, I don't feel like most plays are. That's possible. Most of the plays they do now. And with the advent of the Broadway series and the Kentucky Center for the Arts and the success of it, they've had to compete with it and move away from... They do more musicals now, and I think we've got two musicals planned for this year. We've got two musicals, two comedies, the two festivals, the Humana Festival and the Classics in Context Festival, and the Shakespeare play. That's the main stage subscription. And, you know, you get past the festivals and the Shakespeare play, and you've got two comedies and two musicals. It's not exactly challenging. I like to be challenged when I go to see anything, whether it's a musician or a film or a theater play, and that usually doesn't happen. The one thing I can say is that the sets at Actors are always great. I don't always enjoy looking at them, but I can always tell that they were done professionally. I mean, at a high standard, and that the designer Paul Owen is a, you know, a real asset to the theater. So that, and I had that impression right when I started attending the theater regularly, that the only thing you could count on was the set. So I don't know, it's hard for me to be objective. I go to the theater now to learn, and it doesn't really matter what they're doing to me. There's something to be learned about how it's being done. And that's what I go for. And that and a social aspect, too. That runs really high at the theater. And you, you have to confront that ultimately when you start hanging around Actors Theater. Well, it's just a little bit different. Theater people, and I can say this because, although I'm slowly becoming one, I guess, they just have an eye for detail and appearances and things, you know, if you wear certain things, well, anything, but if, you know, you can have an effect at the theater. It's all the things that are true with any social scene or clique are more heightened at the theater. It's not like it's any different when you get right down to the basics of what goes on, and it's just the same as any place else. But theater people are so conscious of appearances. And, you know, most actors and actresses are very attractive people. Most people that get involved in the theater are attractive people. And they usually have money behind them, too. And it just makes for a mix that is a little bit different than any other clique or social sphere I've ever been in. I was around theater people in college a lot. I went to a small college and did things. I acted in a play.
This is Center College in Danville, Kentucky. All 4 years.
No, I didn't go all 4 years.
Okay,
I went 3 years.
And what years were they?
78 to, I guess, 81.
And you majored in?
Art, English, and French. So, you know, that's why finally it just got to be too much. But I was around theater people then, and I didn't really like it. But it's such, it was a smaller clique at Center, and Center's not really a theater school, although actually there are like at least four of us that went to Center and work at Actors Theater now. There's some new guy, I think he's in props now, I don't know if he's a job in or for real hiring. I think somebody told me that he went to Center. There's a carpenter who's a job in who went to Center. My wife went to Center, and I went to Center, so there might even, Sandy Spear went to Center, too.
That's right, I'd forgotten that.
I don't think he graduated either.
He went to UofL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's, but anyway, the reason I brought it up was, it's just a little bit different, and not that Actors Theater, I'm sure Actors Theater is nothing like a theater in New York or a place like that, because the town has a lot to say about the way it is, but definitely, you know, it's kind of fascinating just to wonder what all's gone on in the whole history of Actors Theater, because people are really aware of things that don't, I don't know how to put it, they're aware of what goes on socially, but when you live in Louisville for very long, it's easy to get comfortable and homey, and Actors Theater does have people that have worked there a long time. So that plays it down, but you still have this influx of new people all the time working on shows, and the apprentices every year, they always contribute to the social thing. There's 20 of them, and they're all, you know, desperate to prove themselves, and they're usually, you know, well, you know, after you've interviewed a few actors, you'll start to get the picture about the way they are. And I don't mean it in a negative way. They can't help what they are. It comes with the territory. But the theater scene is it's not any more interesting than any other scene, but a lot of things happen during the social times that influence what goes on. Connections are made and so forth, just like in any other scene. But I guess it's true, a lot of people, like what James was talking about before we started this interview, moving around a lot. People come into town, they work at Actors Theater, and they don't know what all's going on in town. I found it that when I show people stuff that goes on in Louisville, they meet new people through me, they really like that. They like getting away from the theater, but they don't get away from the theater unless they have somebody like me to do it. I mean, some of them do. The longer you're here, the more you're likely to. But basically, especially with the actors that come in and the tech people that just work individual shows, they stay at the theater, and that's where they're And so that heightens the whole social thing too. It's definitely a factor at Actors, and a lot of things get done or don't get done because of social things that shouldn't influence things. But like I said, that's true at most places. The difference is that Actors is a little bit more closed group. Of course, a lot of groups are very closed, but another thing is it's theater people, and they have this tremendous, they're constantly looking at things. They're constantly seeing things, and they have an eye for what's going on. And a lot of posing goes on, done by professionals at posing, you know. So it's pretty interesting. But it's not like it's... The bottom line with the theater is producing things, putting on shows. And the social stuff it's not really a factor, but you really can't undermine it because, as far as I'm concerned, everything I've gotten at Actors Theater has been through social mechanizations, whether conscious or not. I got the job because people knew me, and my first job I got because of that, and it's just ballooned from there. I wouldn't be working on this zoo project if I didn't hang out with these guys. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they wouldn't know I was a writer if it wasn't for hanging out with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not prepared to write for the theater. I mean, I would do a play, but I'm not gonna... There's a lot of writers that work for the theater that I think stick around and play the social games and the work games, hoping they'll get produced, one of their plays will get produced. And I don't think it works that way. I mean, it occasionally does, but if I write a play, I'm not looking that far to get produced at Actors Theater.
Since you work at the Victor Jory, do you think experimental plays really do get put on up there, or how would you characterize the plays up there on the second floor?
Well, I would say they're basically plays that they feel would not attract a big enough audience to justify putting them on in the Pamela Brown. Maison d'Angerouse is not an avant-garde play. It's got a French title, and maybe they think that would scare your average Kentucky theater goer away. I don't know if that's fair or not, but it's not an avant-garde play. Now, in the Humana festivals, sure, but it's the same way down at the big theater. I'd say the most avant-garde plays of this past Humana Festival were on the big stage.
Give a little rundown of those Humana plays.
I would say the two most experimental were Tales of the Lost Formicans and God's Country.
Talk about those. I saw those.
Right. Well, everybody has different feelings. I thought both those were real good plays. For me, Tales of the Lost Formicans, I'd read the script before, and I was really hoping that seeing it on stage would be better than reading the script, but it wasn't a lot better. So that was like disappointing. A play should be a lot better than reading the script. But it was a good play, and it did get put on in Finland, invited to come over to Finland and do it. So, I mean, it was recognized as a real... I think Time Magazine's reviewer said he thought it was the best one. And it was a good play. God's Country... Everybody had mixed reactions to, and to me, the reason that the play was so invigorating was because it raised a lot of aesthetic questions. Should a play be a documentary? If a play is a documentary, should it be about some event that is still going on that hasn't been resolved? There were just so many things about it that raised aesthetic questions, not whether it worked or if it was right or wrong, but should you even do this in the first place? Is it right or wrong? And that challenges you, and that's what I look for. Bone the Fish, which was up in my theater, the Victor Jory, it got a lot of press for being that way, but it really wasn't. It was just a comedy and a flashy. It was an excellent example of what the scene designers do. If you saw that, I mean, it was incredible. That was the main show, just seeing how they could fit all this incredible stuff in that little space. But
And how it could change before your eyes. You saw it move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right during the show. But I like to see myself, you know, that they keep doing plays like God's Country and Tales of Lost for Mike and every year, because they're going towards this established writers, and none of the established writers they've gotten so far, which, like next year, maybe it'll be E.L. Doctorow and Tama Janowitz or whatever. Neither one of them, and I'm a great admirer of E.L. Doctorow's, neither one of them are going to put on some challenging theater production. I'm not expecting it, maybe they will, but you can't just come in cold from writing fiction and do something that only a theater person, they don't know the limitations and what to challenge. I know this from my own thoughts about it. It's just really hard to do, and no play that they've done yet by a real established writer in another field has challenged at all, and usually when they try to, they fail. So that's why I would like them to keep, you know, since they're going in that direction of getting these new writers, which is exciting, and it definitely generates publicity for the theater, raises aesthetics questions. The brunt of it is, you know, some really good stuff could be lost to challenge. And they were definitely taking a chance, if not with Tales of Lost for Mikens, but with God's Country, of offending a lot of people. And they did offend a lot of people. And basically, I think that's great, because a lot of people in Louisville, they're getting used to actors pandering to the mass. And they're also got the Broadway series. And Louisville's, I'm finding out more and more all the time, is a great theater town, all things considered. But there's only one place in town that can do an experimental play with the money that they need, and that's actors.
Why do you think Tales of the Lost Four Mikens didn't come off for you?
Well, it came off, but
as much as you hoped it would.
Well, I had a real bad personal experience during the middle of it with my wife, so that affected it, you know. And then I think, actually, you know, I think the next day we agreed to get separated, so I can't say, you know, that play, you know, I can't judge it. I mean, something was going on while I was seeing it. I mean, not like we were arguing during the play, but, you know, I had the other things on my mind.
That play was kind of talking about that.
Right.
Stuff,
and I had read it already, see. And it didn't, I mean, it was a real minimal set, which didn't bother me at all. I kind of liked the set. And there was at least one actor in it who I thought was really, really good.
Which one was that? Who played which part?
I know his name. He played many parts. He was in God's Country too, and
oh, okay.
Jonathan.
Is he smaller and has kind of curly hair?
He's not smaller, but he's blind.
Was he the one who was the man next door, who she kept trying to?
No. That's Bob Morrissey.
Oh.
He's blonde. Right. He's Jonathan Freed. His name Jonathan Freed. Yeah, I thought he does really good in it. But somehow things were missing from the play. You know, when I read it like, boy, I got to see this dude. But then when I saw it, it was like you're more pronounced things that were missing from it. I don't know how to put it. I liked it. I liked it a lot. But I wouldn't categorize it as a total success. I don't know.
What about Stained Glass?
I didn't see Stained Glass.
What about Blood Issue?
Yeah, I saw Blood Issue and I liked it.
What about Autumn Elegy?
I didn't see Autumn Elegy.
Did they let you go to these for free?
Right, I could have gone into those.
And they.
But there was different reasons I didn't.
Show you the scripts. You have
access
to the script. Do they
I get them different ways, like, though.
Oh.
I haven't done it through the proper channels yet, so I don't really know what the deal is. I just, you know, I'm around people that have scripts lying around and I borrow them or just read them. I just read Shinzano. It's not the translation we're going to use, but. I forget. I guess my wife. Yeah, I got it from my wife and read it. It's only 29 pages long. You're gonna charge $25. Let's see.
What about the rehearsals? Did you say you sit in on some of those sometimes?
Yeah. Last year, the only one I really set in enough to get a real big feel for it was The Tempest.
What was that like, sitting in on a rehearsal?
Well, it's great. I mean,
Yeah,
just keep moving. Don't sit in one place, because if you don't really involve, if you don't really have to be there, you might draw attention to yourself and distract people or anything. Like, Jory definitely noticed me sitting there and went up and said something to me. Not bad, but it was like he was noticing me being there, and he was wondering, why is he being there? Usually if you're doing what I'm doing, it means you've got your eye on doing something, and, you know, you're wanting to get more involved or whatever, or you're really interested in it, and I think he was just feeling me out, really. I don't think he would even remember it, but I do, because it was so... it kind of shows how the social thing is. They just notice things. People just notice things that... Somebody like me, I'm like that too, but I'm not around people all the time. I can do things at the theater and be confident that they have an effect on somebody, but I could do it in some other social situation, and the way I was standing in a corner or would have no effect. Somebody might notice it, but they wouldn't be reading things into it. But at the theater, and it goes on all the time, and anytime you do anything on purpose to have an effect, you're almost guaranteed it's going to. It's just real easy. I mean, I decided I was going to get a job at the theater. You know, I knew as soon as there was an opening was going to happen, I'd quit my other job, and I needed a job, and I just started going to everything because I could, because of my wife, you know, and I've been to things before, and she's always trying to get me to go to things, and I just did, and I just started meeting people, and I mean, I pretty much... And I, you know, it worked. I mean, and it's still working. I'm still getting places, and you know, I'm real conscious down the theater about the way I dress more than I am at other places. Not that I'm always going to dress up, but it just has an effect. You know, I can think of, like, with Robbie, the next room we went to the Apprentice staff softball game, you know, and it was raining, and I was saying, man, nobody's going to be, you know, we were going to play. Nobody's going to be there. I think it'll probably be like maybe some crazy apprentices who still want to play because they're so fired up about it. And then a couple of guys standing around going, well, you think we should play? You know, we should play. And we pulled up and we were late, of course, and they were already started playing in the rain. And I'm like, this is too ridiculous. And so I get out of the car and I had my umbrella with me because I walked over to Robbie's. And he's like, grab your umbrella, man. You know, and so I did and put it on it. And, you know, it worked. I mean, every one of them noticed it. And it made him feel stupid, you know. But nobody said anything, but it's just that way. I mean, that's like, it's not that, it's that way and everywhere else too. But the theater, it's just guaranteed. You're not guaranteed anywhere else like you are at the theater. And if somebody comes in that's a real player at those type of games, well then, you know, the sky's the limit, I guess. I mean, you know, of course, then you start talking about all the sexual stuff and the soap opera type elements that go on, and, you know, that stuff goes on everywhere, and it's not like every little corner of the theater, like in telemarketing, is like that. It's not like that at all. It's older ladies, few people like me who are just doing it for the money, like a part-time job, and then high school kids. So it's not like that at all in telemarketing, but when you get closer and closer to the production end of it, the more it's like that. And basically people in the theater, unless they're like John Jory or Sandy Spear or Mary Lee, that have long-term jobs at one place, they're very, very, they get involved in relationships and that they're committed to, but they can't do the work to keep them because they're not, the other person lives on the West Coast or in New York, or they just don't live together, or, you know, everybody, has a girlfriend or boyfriend somewhere else. At the same time, they're seeing other people here. And it's just like, I guess that's something a little different about it too. That kind of stuff, it never ends. And the only time it ever ends is when somebody either gets a job like Jory or something like that, where they're there for 20 years and they're in that town and solid, or they retire. They get out of theater and they go live on a farm somewhere or get another job. And I'm not saying everybody in theater is mean-spirited or sexually gregarious or whatever, but it's a lot of beautiful people who are professional posers, and most of them are outside the mainstream. They, you know, are more experimental types of people, willing to try new things, challenge conventions, and I don't know. I'm basically interested in the theater for professional reasons, and I'm basically trying to learn about theater to help my own creative career, and maybe ultimately finding a place for me in the theater as a financial and a satisfying thing. Not at this particular theater, but in the world of theater. And I haven't done that yet, and I don't know if I will. You know, so basically the main motivation is educational as it relates to my being a writer. Hopefully, you know, maybe something will come out of it more. And that's what I'm interested in. That's what I spend most of my energy at the theater, figuring things out. What's going on, how it happens, when it happens, who makes it happen, who makes it not happen, whatever. But I could go on and on about the social things at the theater. As a writer, most writers are this way. You just get sucked in and just notice that stuff. I'm a watcher, and I just, and the funny thing about it is that the actors and the technicians and stuff, sometimes it seems like they're in it the least. And who it affects the most are the outsiders that aren't really theater people till they start working at the theater, like in the box office or in the bar or like my job or something like that. They get drawn into it and they end up being, it's real funny. It's a really, I don't know really how to describe it, but that's one of the main things I've gotten out of the theater is just this incredible pressure to perform in public. You know, and I am not a wallflower type, but I'm basically a watcher, and I don't get involved, and you know, I make friends easy enough, but I'm kind of shy, I'm not really super outgoing, but at the theater, even being that way is seen as a pose. You know, I've always had problems with people thinking that I was being too cool or arrogant or something, when it was really just me being shy or whatever, you know. And at the theater, it's even worse because people immediately assume that I'm being arrogant and standoffish, or that I'm think I'm better than everybody else, or that there's some purpose behind what I do, when it's really just me basically uncomfortable in crowds, you know. And I mean, I don't want to make it like I don't have no social skills or whatever, because, you know, sometimes I think I don't, but I really do. But I mean, obviously I've done good enough, but it'll just never ceases to amaze me what theater does to people. You really get sucked into it, and it's good and it's bad that it's like that.
So you think there's a lot of appearance and reality going on?
Excuse me?
Do you think there's a lot of appearance and reality?
Something that's where theater people get confused. They don't know. They don't know. Because all they ever do is appearances.
And do you think people get hurt who come in and don't really know what's going on?
Well, I'd say that I probably did some, you know. Yeah, I'd say for sure. I don't think it has to be that way. But if you're going to get into that world and start being a player or whatever in that world, then yeah, the potential's there. Basically, you know, I don't think anybody's mean-spirited as a rule in the theater or anything like that. It's just like, well, like with actors, they are so, especially real pros, I've done it for a while, they're actors. They make their life from acting. And nobody can just separate their job from their social life. And at a theater, it's really hard to do. When you're just coming in, the only thing you know is at that theater, and that's where you spend all your time for a month or a month and a half. So they end up acting all the time, you know. Now, I'm sure not able to tell where the line between reality and appearances is. I don't know.
Do you think Actors Theatre has a national identity? A stamp?
It's supposed to.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Do you think it's known for its Humana Festival? Do you think that's what's given it its name?
All I know is new people come in, younger people come in every year, and they think the whole season's going to be like the Humana Festival. So I guess that's true. And they're usually rudely awakened when we do something like The Nerd or something like that. It's, you know, total opposite of their picture. But yeah, it's definitely given the theater an identity. And the theater, what people don't realize is that just having the Humana Festival, that's it. I mean, that gives you identity, and you're doing it, and every year you try to do it. But you got to fill up the theater, you know, the other seven shows, and it is in Louisville and all that. And I mean, I don't even think it's so much of being in Louisville, but I would say that. But I'm not really prepared. I mean, I don't really know what the theaters. I'm still learning about Actors Theater. I can't answer questions like that. I mean, from what I'd say, yeah, the Humana Festival is definitely the thing that we're most recognized for. But that's also in circles of people that are theater people. So outside of theater, I don't know.
What about the Classics and Contacts? Do you think that will develop more and more into something in Louisville? Getting more of the arts involved, or what do you foresee?
Well, it's already got most of them, so I can't see it growing a whole lot more. Basically, I don't know what I think about the Classics and Contacts Festival. Ever since it started, which is like a year or two before I first started coming, I just can't say. It's good and it's bad to me. It's not like the Humana Festival. And like from an educational standpoint, well, yeah, it's great. But I'm not sure what my feelings about the Classics and Contacts Festival are. I just can't say.
Would you say that Actors Theater represents all of the people who work there as an institution, or do you think it's guided by, say, the board of directors or...
John George. I mean, he doesn't do everything, but it's his baby, I would say. From my impressions, it's, you know, Actors Theater and John Joy are hard to separate. And I don't mean that in a negative way at all. I think it's impressive what he's done. But I'd say, yeah, Actors Theater is John Joy. I don't think most people that work for Actors Theater, I don't know about that thought, but basically, yeah, that's who I think Actors Theater most represents.
Do you have any plays that you've seen here that stand out in your mind?
Well, the best one that I've seen probably still has been, I don't know, I can't say that. I enjoy, we were just talking about the Classics and Context, the Pirandello Festival, Six Characters in Search of an Author, I thought was good. There was like problems with it. I thought the ending that Joy tacked on didn't work. And I think that setting it in Louisville was kind of a little too cute for my taste. But I still have to say it's probably one of the better plays I've seen there. For me, it's a pretty challenging play. But the Humana Festival, and whether people identify, it's the time when you really feel like you're doing something. It's something that is like really busy. There's songs like seven plays going on. Actors everywhere, job ends everywhere, and everybody's filled. Everybody's upset about something. But that's when the magic happens at Actors Theater, at the Humana Festival. That's the, like I say, that's when it's over, you're glad it's over, but you're kind of sorry it's over. And I can say that because I'm new still to it, you know. The hardened people don't feel that way anymore.
Do you have anything you'd like to add to this interview?
No, there's really, you know, I'll just let you ask the questions because I don't feel like I've got anything to add to the oral history of Actors. Maybe, you know, ultimately I will, but I'm just like I see myself as like an apprentice at Actors right now. So, you know, I'm just learning the ropes, and maybe I'll use it, maybe I won't, but it'll help me in my other work. You know, the theater, like I said, is a fascinating environment to see what people do, how people act. And it's influenced me a lot in that regards. I'm planning on someday, you know, writing a play with the intention of it being produced. And the novel I'm working on now is part of it is set in a theater, and that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been an Actors Theater. So yeah, it's influenced me a lot, and but like I say, I look at myself as a novice, an apprentice. I'm still learning. There's still a lot to be learned, and you know, this time next season, I'm hoping to have done, you know, a few more jobs and have it, and who knows from there. But I don't look at Actors Theater as like an end to itself. It's just kind of, I looked into it, and once I did, I realized that there was a lot of things that, it filled a void in my life. I had not, the only creative people I'd been around were artists I knew from college or from before, or writers professionally. And Louisville is not a great hotbed of literary talent. And so Actors Theater is kind of like a hot thing in Louisville, so it's like all of a sudden I was around really creative, talented things going on, and that gives me a charge and it motivates me to want to do it. When I see other people making artistic decisions and having them realized, it has an effect on me. I want to be that way too, you know. So the theater basically for me, it's, I don't know, like I say, I don't see myself as a Actors Theater person. I just lucked into it and made some friends, and I'm just trying to take advantage of it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Your time.